And as we begin today's message, which will be on freedom, let's include Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father in this message. Thank you, Jesus, for providing everything for us, for the Father and the Son, the love that you share, that you pour out upon us. And God, we thank you. We ask that you would be with this message, that you would express exactly what you want to each one. And God, we just thank you for your undying love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The term freedom comes and brings many thoughts. Maybe if you served in the military, you might have a sense of freedom that's different. Certainly, freedom is very much a hot topic right now in our nation with the impending elections. So as we think about this, when you think about freedom, do you think about yourself? Do you think of freedoms that you have or desire? We're going to begin with, how do you learn? Do you understand how you learn things? You think back, learning to hammer a nail, holding a saw, mending a garment, maybe fixing things around the house, or learning how to tie a shoe. Do you remember how you learned those events? Did you read and study on how to do that? Many people have done those things. Did you listen to an explanation from someone that shares how to do that? Did you learn from watching? Observe and listen from watching. I'm going to share another way to learn, and this is one that is really relatively new, and that's a YouTube video. Certainly, as we look at Bible history, that wasn't an option, but being able to visually see and listen is a great way to learn. As we begin today, we're going to start with 1 Thessalonians 2:9-13. This picks it up from where we left off last week. And Paul was writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he knew the people. He was very familiar with them, and they knew him. So this was a collaboration of people that knew one another. And as we kind of reflect back to last week and maybe the last few weeks, can you remember what Paul was referring, what he was telling, what message has been a constant in each week's message? What has he been sharing? Do you remember? Can you think of what that is? Paul was sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the underlying main content of what he has shared each week, and he shares again this week. He didn't just tell them about the gospel. He lived it. He lived it in front of them. He modeled it so they could watch, they could see, and they could hear. Observation. He gave them an example to follow. Sometimes those were with words, but he always had actions. There was always something that they could watch and see. One of the ways that he did this was working with his hands. Through much of his missionary career, Paul was a tent maker. It was a trade that he had learned from a youth, and it was very much a hands-on type of employment. Tent makers, like everyone else in the early New Testament times, worked constant hours. They basically started at sunup and finished at sunset. And Paul would do this every day, and then he would preach in the synagogue on the Sabbath. But think about Paul working at his workbench, applying his trade of a tent maker. Do you think maybe he did a lot of discipleship and teaching other people as he was working with his hands and having conversation with those around? He was a teacher, and he was always teaching. Let's imagine him at work and see what we can learn from his actions as a tent maker. Realize God can use anything for ministry and anything to shape us into the image of Christ. You can reference that from Romans 8:28. Today we will look at three freedoms. Jesus uses Paul's calloused hands as a way to bring his message to the world. Freedoms from self, from status, and free to live in the moment. The first one, freedom from self, and we'll begin reading in 1 Thessalonians 2, 9 and 10. I will be using the Holman Christian Standard Bible translation today. Verse 9. For you remember our labor and hardship, brothers, working night and day, so that we would not burden any of you. We preached God's gospel to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly, righteously, and blamelessly we conducted ourselves with you, the believers that listened. In that society, speakers and teachers would have been supported by their disciples or by a wealthy patron or by the believing community. Most orators did not do manual labor like Paul. It was considered beneath them to do what Paul was, working with his hands. Paul's work as a tent maker gave him freedom from self. I want to interject a quick sidebar to this. Peter, an apostle, who was a rough-cut professional fisherman, was thrust into the role of speaker and teacher and was supported by the communities he ministered in. They financially supported him. And here is Paul, who was a professionally trained communicator. Remember, as Saul, he was a Pharisee. He was called to make ends meet by doing work that was considered demeaning. He worked with his hands, even though he was a professionally trained communicator. So the dichotomy of the two is a little interesting. Paul's work, which brought him down into from the eyes of society, they looked down on someone that was doing that manual labor. But it gave him freedom from self that let him preach with joyful abandon. And you think about that. Did maybe the movers and shakers of that society discount Paul, that maybe allowed his message to go freely because they really weren't interested or paying attention? He was a laborer, a blue-collar worker. Did Paul see his work as an act of worship? I think he did. Do you see the things you do as an act of worship? The events that you do throughout your day, do you see them as a worshipful act to God? What does God use in your life to give you freedom from self? I'd really like for you to take note of these and reflect on these. I don't have the answers because they're individually to you. What does he do to free you from your own ego, from your self-focus? And we are humans, and we do have that proclivity to look at ourselves and to think about ourselves. But I'd like for you to reflect on this. Ask God to show you what things he uses and be prepared. It may become a little uncomfortable, but it's an awesome, wonderful learning tool. Have I been more concerned about the approval and respect of the people around me than I have been about their suffering and difficulties and their needs? That's a question that each one, I hope, looks at and answers and reflects on. Where are my concerns? And what are my thoughts? And what are they of? Am I more concerned about my own financial and physical security than I am the needs and concerns of others? And granted, we need to be concerned about paying our bills and living in a financially sound world and to have physical security. But do we do that at a cost of not having the concerns or helping other people? The second freedom Paul mentions is freedom from status. The rabbi was supported by his community as a matter of course. They supported the lifestyle for their rabbi, their teacher. Paul would not participate in this. He didn't want it to become an obstacle between him and his people. Paul walked away from all of that. Remember when he left being a Pharisee and God changed his name to Paul and he became a servant to Jesus Christ in sharing the good news? But you think about Paul as he had left all of that behind, and here he is setting or standing at his workbench making tents. He didn't burden the local community financially, and he was very specific to not do that. He wanted to earn his own keep. Nobody could accuse him of preaching a new message so that he could make money. It was a freely given message. This was his freedom from status. He was driven entirely by the mission of God and what God had given him to say. Are we so busy living or existing that we don't take the time to look deeply at what is driving us and why we do the things that we do? Slow down. Spend time with God. Discuss the things that you do with God and listen to what he shares. Now, you're not going to hear, in all likelihood, an audible voice telling you that, but you will read or others will share, and you will understand if you're listening what God is telling you. Paul was content to sit at his workbench or stand at his workbench sharing Jesus without the trappings of status. Are you content to share Jesus Christ with others? Just in the normal course of your life, are you comfortable and content to share? We have the same opportunities that Paul had. Jesus tells us that we are loved, cherished, and destined no matter what. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has a future with your name on it? Do you share the good news of Jesus Christ? Is it a part of your everyday world? He reminds us that our worth isn't a matter of works or smarts or looks, but of his grace. Status doesn't enter in. The third freedom that we will mention and talk about today is the freedom to be in the moment. Picking it up in verse 11 and 12, as you know, like a father with his own children, we've encouraged, comforted, and implored each of you to walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. The Thessalonian church became fixated on the end times. They were very focused on the second coming of Christ, and they honestly thought that was coming in their lifetime. They became focused and obsessed with the second coming to the point that some of them were even quitting their jobs and disengaging from life. And many today are focusing on this same end time discussion. I think probably I hear this in conversations at least 2 to 3 times a week. I don't know if it's because of the impending election in our country or the very nature of what is going on, but there is an awful lot of discussion or fixation that I hear about these end times. And Paul was sitting there working at his workbench, fully aware that a lot of the people in that local Thessalonian church were fixated on end times. But he just sat and worked as a tent maker and shared Jesus Christ, the good news. That was where his focus was. He wasn't focused on the impending end times when those come, because none of us know. He was sharing what he knew to be true, Jesus Christ. Instead of being caught up in the end time obsession, he participated in one of the most constant rhythms of human life. He showed up to work. He worked with his hands, and I'm sure he modeled and shared his belief all day long with any that would listen. And I'm sure as people asked questions, he could share as he was working with his hands. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, from the Passion Translation, "Indeed, your love is what you've known, for throughout Macedonia, we urge you, beloved ones, to let this unselfish love increase and flow through you more and more. Aspire to lead a calm and peaceful life as you mind your own business and earn your living, just as we've taught you, just as Paul was modeling to them. By doing this, you will live an honorable life, influencing others and commanding respect for even the unbelievers. Then you'll be in need of nothing and not dependent upon others." Paul is effectively saying, live a quiet life, work with your hands, live a simple life. How joyful that could be, and it's attainable if we choose. Paul doesn't get caught up in end time scenarios. Paul's focus is on the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the daily work of maintaining harmonious relationships, the difficult journey of helping the poor, the endless grace work of Christ being formed in us. That's where he focused. That's what he thought about. That's what he talked about. That's what he shared. The gospel is not an escapist doctrine that relieves us of responsibilities and tensions of life, but it does give us strength to press further into this life. May you know the freedom of being a fully loved child of God who will one day put everything right. We live for that day. We share for that day. You are free from status obsession, end times fixation, and the ultimate slavery of living for yourself. Listen to this concluding statement. For the Son has set you free, and you are free indeed. For the Son has set you free, and you are free indeed. Freedom is attainable. Freedom is for us. It is here. We're so happy to have you today. We'd love to hear from you, and you can reach us at our website at gcderby.org or on our Facebook page at Grace Communion Derby. Father God, as we go on from this message into this week, we ask that you would be with us, that you would strengthen us, that you would watch over us, And as this week lays out, it's a monumental week in these United States with an election. We ask for your peace and safety. In Jesus' name, amen.